Let's look at the book of 1 John chapter 4. And tonight is our last message on the apostles. There's the last one on the apostles tonight. Next week, Lord willing, we'll start a different theme and we will continue on. I hope that you learned something from these apostles, these guys. One thing I learned, you know what, they were not supermen, they were just people. All right, they were just people, just like me and you. All right, let's look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. Look what it says in there. We're going to look at this guy called John today. Look what it says. Beloved, if God so loved us, we are also to love one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. And it's a great reminder that we are to love each other, to care and love for one another. And Lord, we know that you love us, but we have to love the brethren, love them and care for them. I just pray, Lord, give us something we can take home tonight from the life of John. We can apply to our own lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So tonight, we're going to look at this man, our last man in the Bible. Say, listen, I could follow the description of the 12 apostles and each one, but I just picked and choosing. I didn't want that, like, I want to give you the description of the apostles. I could have just picked one, and then, but I decided not to. I just, you know, whatever the Lord led us. I do this one this week. So John became the last one. So John the beloved. All right. So don't you know that more boys around the world have been named John than any other Bible character? It's the most popular name, John, amongst, you know, Bible characters. A survey a few years back counted roughly 6 million boys in America bear the name John. Can you imagine that? Wow. I didn't even notice that. So, of the apostles named James, the next popular name with 3 million. Thomas followed with 2 million, and Peter with 1 million. So with John, about 6 million kids named John. So in our study tonight, we're going to look, in my opinion, at the most popular apostle of the 12 amongst Christians. Some may be of the opinion that is Peter, and that's fine if you think that Peter is the most popular one. Because, you know, Peter, you know, put his foot in his mouth many times, and we know him for that, you know. He's one of those guys that talked many times without thinking. Don't we all do that sometimes? But John, to me, this is my opinion. You might agree. And it's okay if you agree or disagree with me. Maybe we can have a cup of coffee and sit down and go over why we agree and disagree on the names here. Anyway, so the Apostle John is the author, listen to this, of the 5 New Testament books. Of course, the Gospel of John, the 3 short epistles that also bear the name, his name, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Revelation. So John John was part of Jesus' inner circle, so to speak, and along with Peter and James, John was given the privilege of witnessing Jesus' conversation with Moses and Elijah on Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17:1-9. So his importance in the 12 grew as he matured, and after the crucifixion, he became the pillar or one of the pillars of the church or of the Jerusalem church. So see this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 9. So ministering with Peter, Acts chapter 3, verse 1, and chapter 4, verse 13, and 8, verse 14, and finally was exiled to the island of Patmos, of course, by the Romans, where he received from God the majestic visions and the comprised book, of course, the book of Revelation. So John's life served to remind us of several lessons which we can apply to our own lives as well. And first, zeal for the church must always be balanced by a love for people. Without it, zeal can turn to harshness and become judgmental. So we have to have the zeal for God, but a zeal to have love for people. Otherwise, we become judgmental. And John gives us that John wasn't the apostle, where we say the apostle of love. He was not like that in the beginning, but he learned. to be the man of love. He loved people. He loved God's people. He loved the Savior. But we have to understand this. So confidence is a wonderful virtue, of course. But without humility, it can become selfless, self-confident, which can lead to boasting and an attitude of being, I can do this myself, and being selfish. And so when that happens, our witness of the grace of God is tainted, and others see us exactly the kind of person that they wish not to be. So like John, if we are to be effective witness for Jesus, our demeanor should be one that reflects, listen to this, passion for the truth, compassion for people, and a steadfast desire to serve and represent our Lord by reflecting His humility in our own lives and grace. I think that was John by the end of his days. So let's look at this tonight, at John the Beloved. Number one, John's early life. We're going to look at this. I mean, there's so much about John we can preach tonight. There's a lot of information about him. So I just got what the Lord put in my heart. So anyway, John, along with Andrew, was directed to Jesus by John the Baptist. And after an interview with Jesus, John was convinced that he was Jesus was the long promised Messiah. So memorial what this is convergence, and 60 years later, John recalls the time as the 10th hour of the day. I want you to go there. Go to John chapter 1 verse 35. He looks back and he remembers that day. Look what it says in John chapter 1 and verse 35. I wait for you to get there. So I'm going to slow down a little bit tonight. So you are starting here in the book of John. Look what it says. Again, the next day, that's John chapter 1, verse 35. Next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, "What seek ye?" Then said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he said unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelleth, and abode with him that day, for it was the 10th hour. So from from that moment, Jesus became a light in John's life. The affection was mutual. John is described as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Okay? After that first meeting, John returned to his fishing business, but interrupted tours with Jesus, and came to call to follow Jesus along with James, Peter, and Andrew, of course. So he willingly left his father, his boats, his fishing business, to become a fisher of men. He was willing to leave everything. I think, folks, I think we too have to come to a point in our lives, in our Christian journey, on which you say, "Lord, I give it all to you, and I'm willing to follow you, whatever you want to take me." I think it's like, whoa, that's kind of, what about if he sends me to Africa? Then go to Africa. He said, "You don't understand, there's lions and tigers there." God is there too. I mean, you know, it's just like, you know, where God leads you, he provides. Amen. You know, we have to come to a point in our life to say, "Lord, if you want me here, all the blessings that I have, it's all yours, Lord. But whatever you send me, Lord, I leave everything behind and go." John was willing to leave his own business, his fishing business, his father, leave everything to go to become a fisher of men. So that's what we see here in John. He was in his early life here. But secondly, John's character trail. Folks, if we're going to be sincere with ourselves tonight, it is true that all of us shall shed some type of ungodly character before we met Jesus. All of us had our little, you know, things before we met Jesus. And only if we sit down and be sincere with each other. Right? I know some people grew up in Christian homes. I understand. You guys are holy saints. Guys never did anything wrong. I'm the other way. Listen, I was 32 when I got saved, you know. I was in the world. Okay, I did things I'm not very proud of it. You know, but I was out there. But some, you know, like, you know, some kids, you know, when they grow up in a Christian home, and I'm just kidding, you know, I'm just kidding. They don't do nothing. Of course they do, you know. So by the way, the word sinner or sin is not used in our world much anymore. Besides, like, inside the church walls. But outside, no, sin is not sin no more, you know. Everybody's doing right in their own eyes these days. But it doesn't change the fact that we are still sinners in need of a Savior. So, and that salvation is available to whosoever will. So John is no exception. He was not a super Christian, but a regular man made of flesh and blood, just like me and you, who had faults, who had desires and struggles and things like you and I do every day. You know, some days we are joyful. Some days life is just boom on you, right? And you go, how am I going to get up? That's the reality, folks. That's life. You know, like the other day, life was good, God is good, singing. I got an oil bill for almost $700. Ooh, that hurts. And you're like, you're walking sideways with that one. And like, ooh. You know, then, you know, you have to go, Lord, I need help to pay for this one. Oil's expensive, you know. But anyway, I'm trying to give you an example is that before we got saved, I mean, some people got saved at early age. Some people got saved early. And we all had our things that we did. And we have the things that we don't share with anybody. But God knows. But anyway, John is one of those guys. So, as early life, you see, letter A, as early life, you see, early in his life, John became known as the loving apostle. But he was not always tender and loving apostle the way he became to be known. Notice some character trails about John. Number one, he was intolerant. Go to Mark chapter 9. He was intolerant. All right? Don't you look like the way those things jump in the outline? Those guys having too much fun in that room over there. They're all laughing at me. They're all laughing at me. Look at the things that are dancing, and I'm looking at it. I'm mesmerized. How in the world they do that? But anyway, look at Mark chapter 9, verse 38. So he was intolerant at one time. Look what it says. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us. And we forbid him because he followed not us. You see? He was not with us. We told him not to do it anymore. Oh, goodness. Intolerance. You see, on a preaching mission to some village, John noticed a crowd. He pushed forward to see what was the commotion was all about. Demon-possessed boy was growing in on the ground with his head tossing from side to side. So John thought of using a delegate authority to cast out demons. But before he could act, a total stranger cast out an evil spirit. That's when John became like unglued, pushing forward. He confronted the healer with a loud voice. Now go to verse 9 of chapter Mark. Verse 39 of chapter 9 of Mark, and look what Jesus said to John here. But Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can light speak evil of me. You see what he says? For he that is not against us, look what it says, is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because he belonged to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Jesus literally rebukes him here. You know? Folks, there's a lot of churches out there. They're not against us. They're with us. They're preaching the same Christ out there. Well, I'm thinking about some of them not preaching the right things, but I'm talking about churches that believe in Jesus, preach the gospel. It's the same thing. We're going to be intolerant of them? We're going to put them in the wayside? No. So how dare you use my master's name? That's for me, John. That's what he says. How you know? How you have no authority to do this sort of thing. You have no authority from him. I have one thing. You can't. You have to stop doing this. So when he recorded the incident to Jesus, John probably expects some penny in the bag and say, "Had a boy, John. You did it right. I'm glad you did it." That's not what he got. But instead, Jesus rebuked him for his bigotry. So Jesus, judging by John's report, Jesus knew that this healer was not a professional magical or soothsayer or anything. This man whose heart has been somehow influenced by the ministry of Jesus just wanted to emulate his service and to needy people. He just wanted to help. So John's bigotry right here was really an expression, ambition to be the top dog right here. His pride of being an apostle was showing Jesus, was showing. So Jesus said to him, I said, forbid him not. I said, don't tell him not to do it. Let him do it. Listen, if somebody, and Jesus goes to say, if somebody gives you a cup of water, somebody gives a cup of water in my name, let him do it. Isn't that wonderful? Somebody comes to you and said, oh, I give this in the name of Jesus. Why? And you say, well, praise the Lord. So naturally, we cannot support the ministry of those who don't believe in the fundamentals of the faith. In later years, John warned us strongly against endorsing the word of Christ, of the work of Christ, deniers. So, but within the limits of God's word, we need tolerance for bearing spirit towards those who don't see theological issues exactly as we do. So how dangerous to think that we are the only true church. We not, folks. Sometimes you know, my church is the only church in the world that preaches the truth. That's not true. You know? We have to be like Darwin. These are like, all right, there's a church on the street that does the same thing. They're preaching the same Jesus. Folks, they're preaching the same Jesus. What are we going to do? We don't want no relationships with them. No, that's wrong. So may we always be a Christian church where the love of God is shown towards those who come in to and show to each other as well. So may the word of the Lord is preached on a regular basis in this place, not in this place, but I believe me, throughout this country, throughout this world, today, many people proclaim the word of God. Many people did. And praise the Lord for that. So number two, he was selfish at one time. Go to Mark chapter 10, verse 35. And look what it says there. This is a popular passage here, but it's good to look at this. So, and look what it says in verse 35, John, Mark chapter 10. It says, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him saying, Master, we would not that show us do us whatsoever we shall desire. I'm sorry. And he said unto them, what would ye that I should do unto you? They said unto him, grant unto us that we might sit on the right hand and on the right hand and the other on the left hand in thy glory. And Jesus said unto them, you know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized? Look what it said. And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, ye shall indeed drink the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I baptize, withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit, look what Jesus said, on my right hand and on my left hand is not for mine to give. It shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10, those are the other ones, heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and whom the other guy? John. They were displeased with them. So there's a little selfishness going on right here. So Jesus' disciples, like most Jews of that day, had the wrong idea of the Messiah's kingdom as predicted by the Old Testament. So when James and John and their mom, of course she was involved in this thing, came to Jesus to ask Jesus if they could sit one on the right and the other one on the left, they thought Jesus was establishing his earthly kingdom that would free Israel from the Roman oppression. They did not understand that Jesus' kingdom is now of this world, is not centered in palaces and thrones, but in the hearts and lives of his followers. So now, their selfish petition didn't fit very well with the other disciples. For one, they didn't speak to Jesus in private, but publicly for everyone to hear. Even Jesus gently right here rebukes them. Tell you what, they didn't care about the other ones. They wanted their place. And they went right to Jesus. And, of course, mom came along. My boy's Jesus, you know, they're good guys. And, you know, you're going to give them the right side and the left side. You know, and they didn't care about the other ones at that moment. You see how far John is right now from being the apostle of love? He's very far from there. You see, folks, let me put it this way. That is the Christian life. That is the Christian journey. We learn as we move on. That's why it's important to be in God's house. It's important to listen to the preaching of God's word, reading our Bibles, having our devotion. So as we progressively do those things, God's word continues to change us for the better. John was not the apostle of love in the beginning, but he became that. Why? Because he learned along the ways with the Lord and all those things, being exposed to Jesus. See, Jesus rebuked him gently. The other 10, they were very displeased. They were going to let him have it. They didn't do it because Jesus was there. But let me tell you, this is what happened to us. All of us on this journey of life, all of us are in this learning to be more and more like Jesus. And we know we can emphasize with him. I remember before I got saved, I don't care about people. I may be honest with you. Life was about me. I was enjoying my life, myself. You know, so what you learn along the way to care about people. And John learned this thing. So now, that was a selfish petition right here. So selfishness or empty conceit is often expressed by building up oneself while tearing other people down. Right there in that moment, these two brothers and their mother didn't care about the other ones, but what they wanted for themselves. So however, the Bible commands us to do is to do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than ourselves. We have to love the Lord, but love each other. And John was not there yet. He needed to learn that concept. So as you can see, John was not always the loving disciple. Actually, he had to learn to love others. Listen, folks. When we are born, we are not born loving people. Look at little kids. Talking about selfishness. Look at the little guys. I mean, you go to the playground before you know you got one that all the toys that belongs to him. You ever seen that? And you know, your kid goes over there with the little toy before you know the toy's gone. You know what? Because Johnny over there, that's my toy, you know? And that's the end of it. So we are not born, like with humility and kindness of heart and loving people. We're born very selfish. But it's a time as we grow through life, we got to learn these things. John right here, he had to learn to, you know, he had to care for the other brothers there. And of course, Jesus rebukes them here. So number three, he had a bad temper. Oh, goodness. I like when people say, I'm Italian, I can't help myself. You kidding me? I can help myself. I'm Italian, I just let it have it. Really? Go to Luke chapter 9. Let's see what he says right here in Luke chapter 9. He had a bad temper. Look at verse 51. Look what it says. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be receiving up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, there's the two right here, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? Isn't that interesting? But he turned and rebuked them, again, Jesus rebuking them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come, look what it says, to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. So when Peter's known for being quick to speak, and John is known for being an apostle of love. But in this passage, we can see that he's far from that. The Bible shows us here that the Lord had much work to do in John's heart. John had a quick temper. And when we have a quick temper, we speak quick in things we don't mean what we say. Ever been there? When we have a quick temper many times, the temper goes up and the blood pressure goes up and we begin and we don't think, oh, give me these words back. You know, give it back to me because it just went out. I didn't think about it. Listen, that happens. Pay attention to people that are quick to anger. And then like my dad, for an example. My dad was like this. My poor dad. He was like this. Very quiet guy. When he got going, when he got, you know, he would spew words and he tried to hold himself back because even the words didn't come out right. He was so adamant. Then he stopped. Then he thought about it and he felt bad. You could see it. He felt bad. But many people are like that. When we have a bad temper or quick to anger, That happens many times. So John had a quick temper, something that Jesus rebuked immediately. Many people struggle with a quick temper. Although society often encourages people to express themselves and not hold back, God's word teaches us to control our tempers. We have to learn to control. I share this with you here. It was a man that worked with me. He's no longer there. He retired. But this man actually, he retired out of his will because he has bad temper. He spewed words that he shouldn't say. And it was either leave and retire or lose your job from what he said. But it's like I used to say to him, listen, I led him to the Lord. He got saved. Right there in his working station, he received Jesus as Savior. I used to say to him, listen, be slow to speak and slow to anger. Be slow to speak. Think about what you're saying before you speak. Oh, but he goes, you don't understand. This guy came with these politics, and it makes me angry. I said, forget about the politics, you know. Oh, well, these guys, listen to what they say. Be slow to speak. Don't be quick to answer, because that's what he did. Somebody said something, and he was at it. And before you know it, his voice was like louder and louder and louder and louder. And everybody would stop and look at him. What's going on? So people already knew how he was. But we dispute those words, and he would regret it after. And he'd go around asking people, please forgive me. And he was like that. Well, please forgive me. What did I say to you? Because he would point the finger and just go at it. But he was like that. He would come and ask people to forgive him. So the Bible says that we are to, people struggle with this, but we have to actually be slow to speak. Control our temper. Control it. Slow it down. So the Bible has a lot to say about the importance of controlling one's temper. It calls a person who easily loses temper to, actually the Bible calls him a fool in Proverbs 29:11 and Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 9. And describes someone who cannot control himself as a city whose walls are broken down, Proverbs 25:28. So a person with a hot temper is often at odds with those around them, becoming easily offended and lashing out in anger or even the smallest slight. So, but people say, I hear this many times. When I was at Griffin, I heard this more often than any time because a lot of Italians there. And it's like, I'm Italian, I can't help it. And they go on and they wouldn't stop. And I'm like, what do you mean? You're using the excuse for being, you know, so you can, because Italians, why? The Italians have a tendency to talk loud. You know, they're loud people. They talk loud. So is Portuguese people. They talk loud. We talk with our hands all the time, you know? You know, you're like, Italians are the same way. So, I mean, if you meet my older sister, you would think probably she's Italian. She's loud. She's loud. And she's always moving her hands all over the place. You would think that she's Italian. She's not, but she's like that. So, well, sometimes we just sit back and just smile at her. And say, well, here she goes again. So, anyway, so let us look at letter B. It's later life. It's later life. There are folks who stay the same all their lives. Folks, there are people who never change. They continue to be selfish, stubborn, self-centered, quick to anger. Yep. But praise the Lord for those who change. Amen. You're looking at one person here. The Lord changed me in a mighty way. If I have the person before I got saved standing next to me, I would not even recognize that person. That person there, I don't even want to go there. But there are people that never change. They're the same. They continue to be the same. But praise the Lord for those who receive Jesus as Savior. And the Lord just works in their lives and they change. And of course, we're talking about John here. Did John change? Oh, yes, he did. He did. So, folks, people do change, and some do change for the better. Better. Yes, John had some not good things about him, not good character traits about him, but he did change to the apostle you and I love today, the apostle of love. He learned with time to put himself last so that he could love others. He learned to love God above anything else as well. So notice some of the good character trails that John displayed late in his life. Number one, we see sympathy. Sympathy. Go to John chapter 19, verse 26. And we see right here, he became a man, that kid. And, you know, of course, now we see John as a changed man. Look what it says in John chapter 19, verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. So yet in the past, John had a bad temper. He was intolerant and selfish. But here we see Jesus asking the same John to take care of his earthly mother Mary. Why didn't he ask the other ones? Is by mistake that Jesus said, that the Bible says that John was the apostle that Jesus loved? Did he love the other ones? Yes, he did. But it's something different about John. But John, see, was not very lovable. But he learned with Jesus. And he got transformed to the point at the foot of the cross. Who's there? John. Who did Jesus give his mother to somebody to take care? To John. He changed from being selfish, to being all these things, to be a sympathetic man. He loved and he took care of Jesus' mother. So it is wonderful when people see that we have changed. Isn't that wonderful when people have seen our change and trust us with some awesome responsibilities? So believing that Mary was of old age here, we must keep in mind that it is an awesome responsibility to take care of an elderly person. It is an awesome responsibility when they cannot take care of themselves. My mother told us, the three of us, please do not put me in a nursing home. And we had to say, Mom, we will do everything we can in our power not to do that. And we do in so far. Because she said, I'll go there, and that's her thing, I would die quick. it's like my mom. I'm not saying if you have loved ones in nursing home, I don't try to make you feel bad. That's not what it is. But it's an awesome responsibility to take care of an elderly person. Then what comes to a point that they need 24/7 attention and your care? It's hard. It's not easy. And here we see Jesus giving Mary to John to take care of it. Where's Joseph? Probably dead at the time. Did Mary have other kids? Yes. Why didn't Mary was given to the kids? Was given to John. So get this. Of the 12 apostles, Jesus chooses John to take care of his mother. And at the end of verse 27, we see the heart of a transformed man. Look, it says, from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Now, think about this. It was John who wrote this down. That's the book of John. Look, he didn't put his name there. It says, and from that hour, that disciple, whose disciple? John himself, took her into his own home. Number two, faithfulness. Go to John chapter 19. Oh, we did in chapter 19. I am so sorry. Look at verse 25 and 26. Same thing. It says, and when Jesus therefore saw his mother, he saw, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto her, to his mother, Woman, behold thy son. So Jesus had 12 apostles that lived with him, walked with him, talked with him daily. Those 12 men followed Jesus wherever he went. From the time that they started until the time everything has been smooth, free of problems. Never their lives were in danger, neither they felt threatened for their lives until this point right here. In the most critical point in Jesus' ministry, all the apostles deserted him. John was there. He was at the foot of the cross. John was. John loves it. Love and faithfulness to Jesus is demonstrated at the foot of the cross here. Jesus was about to be crucified by the hand of sinners, but John doesn't run away. John is right there watching what was being done to Jesus. Get this. Love do not only be shown to the person that we say that we love in good times only, but in the most dramatic and critical times of life, that we need to say to that person, I love you. I care about you. Don't you think when people are hurting, they need to hear some of those words? Amen. When life is beating you down, you're totally discouraged and beat down, when somebody comes to you and say, hey, I love you. I care about you. John was there. Jesus was being crucified. Don't you think that Jesus looked at him? Obviously, if he said, "Here's you take care of my mother," obviously he looked at them. And John was there. Number three, we see love. Go to 1 John chapter 4, and let's look at verse 7 there. You see, from intolerance, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, 21, from intolerance, selfishness, and hot temper, John became known as the apostle of love. So folks, this didn't happen overnight for John, but it happened. Let me put it this way. Some people are very calm, very easygoing, all the time. You ever meet people like that? We say something, do these people have any problems? They're like easygoing, they're calm all the time. And you look at yourself and you go, "Oh, not me. I feel like, you know, I'm in turmoil all the time." You know, but see, we are different. We have different temperaments. You know, we have different ways of facing life, dealing with life. But you know what? But let me tell you, that people that easy go, you know, they have problems too. They just deal differently. But I tell you what, John right here, he was like, "Whoa, sons of thunder." But I tell you what, God knew his heart. And he knew that I can reach that heart and transform that heart. And God knows your heart and mine. And God says, "You know what? I'm going to save you. I'm going to transform you. I'm going to work in you." Folks, it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't. If you think you have arrived, I'm telling you this, the road still go down. And you need to get the car and keep driving. Because I tell you what, you didn't arrive yet, because this is who we are. We got to face life. And the more we commune with Jesus, guess what? The more He will transform us. Look back. 20 years, I mean, some of you, I said, all right, okay. How about 10 years? 20 years may be too long. But some of you, look back 10 years ago and look at you today. What did you say about your Christian life? You say, you know Jesus more today than you know Him like 10 years ago? Of course you know more about Him. Did He transform you? Yes, He transformed you. Yeah. You know, and if you look at your life 10, 15, 20 years ago and look at today, you would say like, "Oh, the Lord did so much work in my life." Of course, you have done in my life. Amen. All right, I took these messages out. I took these messages probably 20 years ago. All right? I took these messages out of a folder that I had. I said, "Let me look at it." I looked at them and like, I was teaching Sunday school at First Baptist Church. I looked at them and looked at them like, my first thought was like, I mean, who in the world listened to me when I taught these lessons? You know why? Because now I look back, it's like, well, I didn't know much those days. But how much the Lord had taught me all the way to today. And that's what God does in our lives. How He changes us and transforms us. And John is a testimony of that. John, of course, he became an apostle of love. Did I give you number three, love? Okay, so from intolerance, selfishness, he became this man as the apostle of love. So let's go to our point number three. John's love for Jesus. John, like all of us, had his weakness, but he grew to be an apostle who really loved the Lord. So apparently, John was not only one of the inner three, but he had was the only one described as the apostle whom Jesus loved. Now, don't misunderstand here. It didn't mean that Jesus didn't love all of them. He did, but he loved this one a little more, particularly a little one. I tell you what. All right, parents. I know some parents, you only have one kid, so they can't understand what I'm saying here. But parents, every parent, my kids would never know this because I would never tell them. But every parent had one kid that, you know, they love all of them. But one of them is just, All right? And sometimes mommy and daddy, one mommy like, on one and daddy, on the other. Didn't mean they didn't love all of them. The problem is this. Don't ever tell your kids. Because if you do, you're going to hurt somebody. You know, I'm saying this because in my family with my sisters, it's hurt in the heart of my sisters because my mother. My mother has me as prince, you know. And like, "Mom, don't do that." And it doesn't matter. She keeps saying it. On the other hand, we all knew that my father loved my younger sister. Loved us, but he had something for her. But see, but you have to be careful with that, because we can hurt the other kids. But anyway, he had the same thing. Didn't mean that Jesus didn't love all the apostles. He loved them. But there's something different about John. All right? God loves all of us here. Amen. No doubt about it. But the Lord was always that particular, just like us. So, Jesus loved all of his disciples, but he had, like I said, special love for John. John's commitment and love for Savior was what caused him to change into a loving disciple. He was the one under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He gives us the famous John 3:16, probably the most popular Bible verse in the entire Word of God. John remind us of Christ's new commandment to love one another, not only as duty, but as a badge of discipleship. John referred to the word love over 50 times in his writings. Get this, of all the Gospels, of the four Gospels, John gives us the conception of Jesus Christ right here, whereas the other Gospels writers present Jesus as a bit different than John. John portrays the Holy Ghost, the Holy of Holies of Jesus, radiant personality. He presents literally Jesus as God in the book of John. That's how much he was how much he loved the Savior. He had no doubt. So if you read the book of John, the epistle of John, you're going to know right in that book that John portrays Jesus as the Lord, as God himself. Get this. Some regarding the Gospel of John as the most profound book of all time, the supreme literal work of God. Nearly half the verse of John are the words of our Lord Jesus. Out of the windows with Jesus performed, John recorded miracles which would convince his readers that Jesus was the Christ, the very Son of God. So Matthew presents Jesus as King. All right? If you want to write this down. Matthew presents Jesus as the King. Mark presents Jesus as a servant. Luke presents Jesus as the Son of Man. John presents Jesus as God. Get this, throughout the centuries, many people have become convinced that Jesus Christ deity by the beauty and power of John's gospel. Right there on John chapter 1, the first verses, right there John displays the deity of Jesus. He really does. No bolts about it. If you read about it, it's like right there presents. You know that when people say, oh, Jesus is not God. Well, read those verses right there. In the beginning, what? Was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right there.
That's right.
So, look what it says in verse 2. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. So John presents Him as God. And I think if people read the book of John, right in the first, and miss that, they're going to miss the whole thing. Like, right there. Let's go to number 4. John's teaching teaching reality of love. John's teaching reality of love. So John came a long way, but the Lord did a great job on transforming him. I like that song. What's that song that he's still working on me? You know what? The Lord was working on John continually. And by the end of his life, John was a pillar in the church. He was known as the apostle of love. It was a long journey to get there. But consistently he grew up. And I tell you what, for all of us here, he's still working on me to make me more than the way I should be more like Jesus.
Amen.
I tell you what a great thing, isn't it? We can emphasize it with John right here, where he was, where he used to be, and the transformation that God made or did in his life. Can God transform you?
Absolutely.
Yes, he can. Can God transform a cold, hard, quick to anger person out there in the world, save him? And of course they can. God can do all these things. You see, John became the apostle of love, became the apostle of love. John was never afraid to tell the truth in love. He was the apostle of love, but the apostle of love was the backbone. He tell the truth and then you hold it back. So true love can be tough at times. Hardening of all that would injure the object of the affection. But let me tell you something right here. True love can be hard at times, especially when we tell the truth. But tell you what, John was one of those guys. He became the apostle of love. Listen, just as a loving father would protect his young kid against a vicious dog, so John warned against popular false teachings aimed right at the vital of the little children. He loved the children of God so much that he was that kind of man. So John didn't hesitate to call those who walked contrary to, and he called them liars in 1 John chapter 1 verse 6 and chapter 2 verse 4. For John forbid believers John forbid believers to welcome into their homes and endorse in many ways those who held false views of Jesus Christ. 2 John verse 10. So John exposed, of course, false doctrines as well. So John became an apostle of love, but he stood for the truth. John became the pillar of the early church with his love for the Lord Jesus Christ in his love for the church. He stood up for the truth always. Get this. John didn't lose his tendencies to thunder sometimes, but he became that restrained with the humility and love for people. He loved people. I conclude with this. The Apostle John was one of the most popular apostles of the 12. He became known as the Apostle of Love. As a result of that love, John was prompt to teach us to love others. John's writing, especially 1 John, focused on the idea that when we understand we are beloved by God, we will. What can we Christians learn from this great man of God called John the Apostle and make an application to our lives? Let me give you some points here. Number one, love God more than the world. We see this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love God more than love the world. Listen, that's how we go. That's how we grow in love. Love the Lord more than we love this world. This world is just a passing by. Yep. If we think you're going to be here forever, forget it. You know, enjoy the life that God gives you. Enjoy His creation, but love God supremely above anything. Number two, John communicated that because we are so loved, we should love others selflessly. So look what it says in 1 John 4:8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Number three, because we are loved, we should live a life of integrity. John became that man, a pillar in the church, a person that could be trusted, a person that stood up for the truth. See, the first two chapters of John deals with Christian ethics, the way we should live with integrity in a world that doesn't always have it. John uses an analogy here in his gospel here. Let me tell you, one of the classes that I took in college was Christian ethics. I'll tell you what, it was one of the most loud battlefield class I ever been into. Our teacher became the devil's advocate. And he would come at us with vengeance. And he goes, well, we stood up and we defend ourselves and what we believe. And we stood up strong. And my teacher, Pastor Carpenter, I don't know if you remember him. He goes, you guys are hardcore Baptists. I said, you better believe it. We're going to stand for the truth here. One time was about lying. One of those things. What about a little lie? Oh, it wouldn't fly with us. but see, integrity, something that is missing in our world quite a bit. But John stood up for that. That is, the key to meaningful connection with others is Christ-likeness right here. And that's what we need to do. So, when you realize that you, like John, you have been so loved, you make it your goal to love Jesus as well. Let me tell you this. John became known as the apostle of love. But let me tell you, if you look at his life, he was not always like that. He had bad things about him. But one thing that God did to him, God transformed him.
That's right.
But in order, and I close with this, for God to transform us, we had to surrender our lives to Him.
Amen. That's right.
Otherwise, we keep going the same old, same old. Mm-hmm. We have to say, Lord, I give it to You. My bad temper, it's Yours, Lord. My selfishness is Yours, Lord. All this, Lord, it's Yours. I don't want them anymore. Get it out. And God will use you and will transform you for His glory. He will do that. And so it's hard to do. Yeah, of course it is. Our tendency is to go back to the old thing. But you know what? We see right here, John marched forward, kept going forward, and God kept on transforming him to the point, in the end, he was known as the Apostle of Love. What a transformation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for Your love and Your mercy. Thank You for John and what he did and how You transformed him. Lord, how many people through the ages and to this very day, Lord, they came broken. They came to You. They received You as Savior and the transformation that You have done in their lives. And some of those people, we know them. And Lord, I was one of those people. And I thank You, Lord, for what You have done in my life. And You, how You give me a heart for people which I never had before. I thank You, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen.